Dear ones, let's unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, we have assembled together in this morning on this thy day. We give thee thanks. We give thee thanks for this day, for this opportunity, the blessings of a new day, and it is the Lord's day in which we could worship thee and put away our earthly business and, Lord, bask in the light of thy word as we will open it. We pray, O Lord, as we have assembled in thy name, that thy presence would be felt among each of us, that we would, Lord, rely upon thee, upon thy strength, thy word, thy wisdom, that we, Lord Jesus, would learn of thee and that we would be conformed unto that image which we have before us. So abide thou with us in this morning and in this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this morning's meditation, let us turn and read together from the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4. Ljubazno želim da se pročita iz druge poslanice apostola Pavla Korinčanima, četvrta glava. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. May God bless our reading, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. Dear brothers, dear sisters, dear friends, as we have come together in this morning, this chapter that is before us, I just this past week, I was just speaking to a brother, and he mentioned that this chapter was something that he was reading. And I know this chapter. I love this chapter. It's a chapter that really kind of does a big reset. And it really, really should cause every one of us to really look at our life and look at what is written here and contemplate on where we're headed, what we're doing. And as we read this, we read of a life of an apostle and what the Lord Jesus means to him, what this life means to him, what eternity means to him. And that all of his life and all of his living is focused on eternity. And in doing that, his life is directed. His life is sure. His footsteps, every step he takes, he's in line with Christ. He doesn't have any anxieties. He doesn't have any worries. There's nothing in life that overwhelms him, causes him grief, to cry out, "Woe is me," and create havoc at home and at work and church and, "Woe, me, me, me." There's none of that. But we look at his life and we look at our life and we look at our cries and we look at his, and it has to reset us. Who are we? And what are we? Who do we act that we are? And what are we living for? We know that Adam and Eve, Bible tells us, were created in the very image of God. God, the Holy Spirit, dwelt in them. They had communion. The Lord Jesus himself, their creator, came down into the garden with them, communed with them. They were together. They were one. They enjoyed fellowship one with another. But we see that as Paul talks about dishonesty, he talks about the word of God and how he handled it and how others handled it. Hidden things of dishonesty. He says, we're not walking in craftiness. I'm not trying to deceive you. I'm not trying to make you believe something and be doing it in a sneaky way. I'm giving you the truth. The truth stands. You take it, you leave it. Eternity rests upon that. Satan came into Adam and Eve, into Eve's mind, and he attacked her mind, and he says, Is God who created you? Is he really going to sustain you too? You know, he's taking away these things that are so good for you. He gets into her mind, so she questions, does God really sustain her also? Does she really need to partake of this tree that God told her not to do? And so with craftiness, as Paul is saying, others now who are preaching the gospel, claiming they're preaching the gospel, they are handling the gospel in a crafty way, deceitfully. He goes, we're not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. When Adam and Eve sinned, God the Spirit left them. But he left them, dear ones, a conscience. That is, our conscience is our friend. He's our ally. He's God's. God given to us. We can either deaden the conscience, ignore it. How? By grasping on to things that are handled in craftiness, deceitfulness. Paul gives the simple word of God as he was inspired to give it, so he delivered it. That doesn't appeal to man. So man hates that. And man takes the word and he wants to make it fit his life. And so man will now look for another man to give me. You know, if one brother in talking to one another, if we come up with something and we hear the word amongst one another and we don't really like that, why? Because it demands a change in me. I'm going to look for someone that gives me a different version that fits my life without the need to go and deal And so what I do with that, when the word is handled deceitfully, dishonestly, craftily, and I submit to that, I am deadening the conscience that God gave me. And so he says, we're commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He says, and so if our gospel is hid, okay, he says, if our gospel is hid, a gospel, the gospel that is being preached, how's it going to be hid? Hidden. It's meaning it's being spoken, but not seen, not understood. Why? He says, it's hid to them that are lost. Lost. Dear ones, that's probably one of the most tragic words we can use to describe someone. Lost. We know if we lose something of value, there's a panic. Where? How? What? And we rush to the place where we think it was to find that which we lost. It's not there. It's lost. There's a feeling of desperation, a feeling of, where is it? The gospel is hid to them that are lost. Is the one who is lost worried? Does he seek out the truth? It says, how is one lost? It says, when the God of this world, who is the God of this world? The devil, the father of lies. Jesus tells the Pharisees, your father is the devil. He is a liar. He is a liar from the beginning. All he does is lies, and he is your father. The Pharisees, who were followers of God, teachers of the law, followers of God. They knew God, allegedly. They claimed. Lost in their religion completely, not knowing who God is at all. Why? Because the God of this world, Satan himself, hath blinded the mind. Just like Satan attacked the mind of Eve to blind the mind to the truths that God established and gave her, do not. Blinded her mind, and so Satan now continues to blind the minds of them which believe not. Well, I believe. The Pharisees believed. He says, your father is the devil. You'd rather believe a lie. You'd rather believe the dishonesty, the craftiness, the deceitful handling of the word of God. You'd rather believe that than the truth that God gave in his word. You want to explain away. I want to explain away how I live my life. I want to explain it away. I can. To you. To him. To her. Whoever, I can. I'm lost. It doesn't change that. It doesn't change the fact that I'm lost. It doesn't change the fact that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, it says, who is the image of God, who's the image of God, it's not shining in me. Yet, I claim I know him. And so Paul says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. Paul, who has left more epistles and letters than any apostle, says, I'm just a servant of Jesus Christ. And for his sake, I'm not handling the word deceitfully. He died. He died for the sins of the world. He died so that you and I may have eternal life. Don't handle that deceitfully. Don't handle that gospel in a manner in which you can leave wiggle room for your life. You can wiggle in all you want. That's all you're going to be doing is wiggling. You wiggle your way straight to hell. Straight to hell. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is in him, it is in Christ Jesus, that we will see that we will have knowledge of the glory of God. The glory of God. What is that glory? Peter never forgot the glory that he saw on the Mount of Transfiguration when he saw Jesus Christ transfigured. He never forgot that. Dear ones, do we see the glory of God? We say, well, I'm not on that Mount of Transfiguration. Well, we have the revealed word of God given unto us. Jesus Christ walked, lived. He had his ministry, a ministry which faced constant pressure, constant opposition, and so on. He lived. He gave his word. It was revealed unto us. His will, the Father's will, was given to us. We see him in his glory. Do we forget that? Peter never forgot. He writes about it in his epistles. Is the glory of God lost on us? Do we not? What does the face of Jesus Christ mean to us? Paul, or John, I should say, is writing of that celestial city in Revelations. He speaks of stones, of precious stones that are glimmering, and you know, things that just like put us into some fantasy land, dreams of crystals and water and gold and just beauty. And we like, oh, I want to see that. If that's what we want to see, we'll never see it. If that's our goal, we'll never see it. If our goal isn't to see the face of Jesus Christ, because that is the highlight. I want to go to heaven to see Jesus. He has to be my life. I can't handle the word of God deceitfully. I can't make wiggle room for myself or for anyone. In Paul just laid out the word. He didn't change the word for the jailer. He didn't change the word for anyone. Satan didn't know what to do with Paul. He put him in prison. He beat him to be black and blue. He chased him out of one city. Paul just went and invaded another city. He put him in jail. He converts the jailer. He puts him to death. He gives him the martyr's crown. His life was Christ. How would he even think to handle the word of God in the manner in which he would make me comfortable today, that I can live a life of sin and still have a comfort that I am a follower of God? He says, talks about his ministry. He says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He's just in this flesh and blood, he says. Don't look at me. It's not about me, because the power is of God. It's not of me. I'm not some superhuman being. I'm just an earthen vessel. It's the power of God. It's not me. He says, I am troubled on every side. He goes, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. You know, you think about being troubled on every side. You just feel like when you're getting just boxed in one thing. And, you know, we even say it sometimes often ourselves, oh, I get, now what? Now what? I didn't even get over this crisis, and now what? And you feel pressed upon from every side. Paul says, I'm not perplexed. Why? Because no one could take, you could press him from any side you want. No one could take the vision that he had when he looked heavenward. You couldn't take that away from him. I'm not perplexed, he said. Press on me from every side. Beat me. Do whatever you want. I'm not perplexed, because you can't take away my look heavenward, where Jesus is. He says, we're perplexed, but not in despair, and never to the point. Basically, he's saying, I'm in despair, but not a hopeless despair. I'm not hopeless. So yes, I feel the beatings. I feel those things. They're very real. He says, He says, I was cast down in the next verse. I was persecuted, but not forsaken. I was cast down. I was thrown down as dead, but I wasn't destroyed. They stoned me. They dragged my lifeless body out of the city. But I wasn't destroyed. This is a life of a man of God who says, I always was bearing about in the body. What? The dying of the Lord Jesus. Okay, so does that mean that I cannot do what Paul did here? You know, I'm not being cast down. I'm not being stoned. My body isn't broken and blue and cut. And I'm not suffering shipwrecks. I'm not doing these things. I'm not being chased from city to city. So I can't in this body bear the dying of the Lord Jesus, right? No. Paul is speaking about, I'm living on Calvary. I go to Calvary. I'm there. I bear about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus. As Jesus Christ, my Savior, God Himself, came down, took on flesh to die for me, I'm going to go there too. And I'm going to die to myself. Why? So that the life of Jesus, think about this, brothers and sisters, my dear friends, so that the life of Jesus, we think of a life of holiness, perfection, that the life of Jesus would be made manifest, made visible in my life, in this flesh. You can't do that handling the word of God deceitfully. You can't do that. You can't give yourself an excuse to live a life of pleasure and say that the life of Jesus is being made manifest in my life. Dear ones, we just look on our own daily life, where we are, what we do, how we interact with people. Is the life of Jesus being made manifest to that person I'm talking to? We say, well, no, because I'm talking business or whatever. Of course, we go through those things, but I'm talking about our conversation. Is it defy, or does our conversation give away who we are and who we claim that we are? Was it, I think, just last week I had this in the message, or maybe it was here, but the Apostle Peter himself, when he was warming himself by the fire, we just read this past Wednesday that Peter was told that you will deny me three times before the cock will crow. Three times you're going to deny me. He never believed he could or would. And he's warming himself by the fire, and the damsel says, hey, I know you. No. And what happened? No, your speech shows us that you are with him. In other words, he needed to start cussing and cursing, and he did. Oh, okay, for sure then, you don't know Jesus. Because you would not have spoken like that if you did. Okay, now let's look at our life. Is the things that I say and do, will someone say, you don't know Jesus, you say you know him, you don't know him. We had it mentioned here a few Sundays ago, how a professor who doesn't believe in God says Christians who claim they're God, they're doing these things, they're not Christians. I don't believe in that God that they claim, but they claim him and they don't believe in him either. And so, dear ones, is my life being, or is the life of Christ being made manifest in my body, in my language, in the things I do and say? It says, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That, again, why? Why does Jesus say, take up the cross and follow me? Why does he say that? Paul says, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. I die daily, Paul said. That doesn't mean that he's dying every day at the hands of all these men. He's living his life on Calvary. That's where he says, my Lord died for me. That's where I will die for him. That's where I'm going to go. He said, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That, again, why? So that the life, again, verse from one verse to the next, so that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Brothers, sisters, friends, it's not impossible to live a godly life. It is impossible to be godly as I dress like the world, live for the world, take up the world's vanities, and flash it all over the place. What do I do? Does it bring glory? Do the clothes I put on bring glory to God? Does everything I do, does it bring glory to God? The things that I do, what? He says, so that the life of Jesus might be made manifest. When someone looks at me, do they see Jesus? Answer it. Answer it. How? Based upon the revealed word of God. Don't look for a sign from heaven. It's here in the pages. We see Jesus' life. We see he had nowhere to go, nowhere to lay his head. He had nothing. We see the life of Paul, pressed about from every side. Perplexed, not in despair, troubled, but not distressed. He says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. You can't do this unless you believe. That's why it is impossible. It is impossible to please God unless we believe. But when we say we believe, this is the life that follows. Jesus needs, the life of Christ must be made manifest in my body, my mortal flesh, he says. How? Do I have a conscience that is deadened? Do I have a conscience that I ignore? Just this week, talking to a brother, he said, you know, a lion doesn't have a conscience. Think about that. If a lion doesn't have a conscience, I mean, he never regrets doing what he did. There's not an inkling of regret. He has no conscience. God left Adam and Eve with a conscience. And he gave them a cursed earth. It's because it's what they desired. He gave it to them. But he gave them a way, and that way is Jesus Christ. That through him, we could be born again. And so that, as he said, we have the same spirit of faith according as written, I believed. Brothers and sisters, dear friends, when we say I believe, it's not a deceitful way. It's a way that transforms me. Be ye renewed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed. New. How? By the renewing of your mind. The mind which Satan attacked in Eve. Renew it. So you could have the mind of Christ. Renew your thinking. Renew your passions, your desires. Renew those things. Where? I die every day, Paul says. I go to the cross. I bear about in my body the dying of Jesus Christ. That's why he could write so beautifully. He says, that may be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that But that which is through the faith of Christ. Again, he says, I believe through the faith of Christ. I am righteous. He says, that the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. The fellowship of his suffering. Brothers and sisters, you and I may never suffer as Paul suffered. I may never get persecuted. Is that now a symbol for me or a sign that, well, you weren't persecuted? Look what happened to him. He was persecuted. You weren't. I'm not going to be judged by my works and what God had asked of me. In that sense, if he gives me a life of no persecution, it doesn't take me away from this. He says, so that I may know him. If I know him and if I live in the power of his resurrection, the power that raised him up from the dead, and the fellowship, if I'm in fellowship with his sufferings, meaning I am living my life at Calvary on the cross with him, and I'm being made conformable unto his death, then I don't have to be persecuted in order to show that I am faithful to him. No, God already knows I'm faithful. He says, so knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, he says. Everything is for your sake. I'm speaking honestly. I'm delivering you the word of God as it came to me. I'm giving it to you. I'm doing it for your sake. You are lost, he says, and I'm giving it to you so that you would find Jesus Christ. And when you know him, you will be made conformable unto his death. You will live a life that dies to self. You'll live at the cross. So that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. So it all would transfer over to what? To the glory of God. So that the abundant grace that he gives us and the thanksgiving that we give gives him the glory. He says, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man does perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. You know, I don't perish in the sense of what Paul is talking of, but I need to perish to this mortal flesh. I need to die on the cross every day. And he says, I faint not. Though our outward man may perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. There is, we know the verse in I don't know if I can find it real quick here. I don't have to look for it. It just basically says that God, his grace, his mercies are new every day. And Paul is saying, I am renewed every day. God gives me the grace for today. He doesn't give me the grace for tomorrow. I'm not to worry about tomorrow. Dear ones, Paul is dying every day. How's he going to worry about his retirement? He has a sentence of death upon him. As a matter of fact, all the apostles had the sentence of death. They knew they were to be martyred. They were going to die a gruesome death. Why? Because they loved the Lord. Did it change their love? No. He says, I'm renewed. The inward man is renewed every day. You cannot take that away from me. You can beat me. You can do whatever you want. And I'm not going to give in to the lusts of the flesh. I'm not going to give in to the pride of life. I'm not going to give in to the riches of the world. Those things are crucified to me every day. I crucified to them and they're crucified to me. Why? So that I may know the power of God, so that the power of his resurrection, so that I could live and be conformable unto his death. So that what? So that the image of God could be seen through me, through my life, through my walk every day, my walk, talk, everything I do, so that Jesus would be visible. Visible. Made manifest as being seen. How worried are we that Christ is seen in my life? It's because his eyes were focused on the things that are eternal, as he says here. For our light affliction, who here would call that a light affliction? How could Paul call it a light affliction? How? Well, he says why. He says it's for a moment. You know what a moment is? It's gone. That's how it is. He spent over 20 years being hounded and persecuted. He said it's just a moment. Because what does he look at? He looks at eternity. Eternity is his goal. He wants to see Jesus' face. The invisible God is seen in Christ. John says, and they shall see his face. What will keep me from seeing his face? Pride, arguments, drama. Taking the word of God and making it fit my life, style, desire. The cross is too hard to bear. It's too hard. I got to wander away from that a little bit. I'll just look at it, but I don't want to go there. Because surely God is one of mercy. Yes, he is. But the heavens aren't ringing out, merciful, merciful, merciful is God, Lord God the Almighty. God is love, but God, the heavens aren't ringing, love, love, love is the Lord God Almighty. God is holy, and the heavens are ringing out, holy, holy, holy art thou, Lord God Almighty. That needs to wake us up. Who are we dealing with? A God who is holy. A God who is holy, that my sin has no place near him. Near him. And I'm going to handle the word of God deceitfully in a manner in which I can make it fit my life. Okay. But I have no place with him. I can enjoy my lusts. I can do my thing. I can. And for that moment, Paul says, for that moment, so if his afflictions, which when they're enumerated, they cause us all to gasp. I know they do. How? And he says it's light. Why? Because it's a moment. Well, if that's a moment, so is your pleasure. So is our pride. So is our, ooh, who am I? That's for a moment. You want to live in those pleasures? Go ahead. It's a moment. And then eternity. Eternity. You won't see his face. And you won't see things clearly. But you will have an eternity to regret in an abyss of darkness and torment to think about, I gave up Jesus for that moment? For that moment. Why does it matter now? Why does it matter? While we look not the things which are seen, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so, dear ones, that's our biggest problem. We focus on things that are seen, felt, enjoyed by this flesh. moments of pride and so on. And we'd rather listen to the word of God deceitfully than laying out the truth and saying, woe is me. I've just been in the presence of a holy, three-time holy God. And I say that because the heavens are ringing out three times, holy, holy, holy. I'm in the presence of a holy God. Woe is me. What do I do now? Woe is me. There's Jesus. There's Jesus. My life has to be in him. He has to be my all. He has to be my life. Paul says in the first chapter, he says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations. Why was it Paul said that this is a light affliction? He said, blessed be God. He comforts us in all of our tribulation. Why? So that we could also comfort others which are in any trouble. How? By the comfort that I was comforted with, he says. I was comforted by God, and I will now comfort you with that. Paul never kept anything to himself. He didn't keep the word to himself. He didn't keep the comforts that he found in Christ. And he says here, he says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Why? He says, so that we should not trust ourselves. You want to have any faith in yourself, in your possessions, in your the temporal things that we see, we put our trust in those things? He says, all of this was done so that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God. And he says that in who shall separate us from the love of God or the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as just sheep for the slaughter. But he says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things that come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's nothing. Throw anything at him. It's not going to separate me. Why? Because I'm in Calvary. I'm with him there. His power is given to me. He comforts me. He watches over me. Nothing will separate me from his love. Brothers and sisters, dear friends, where then is there room for anxieties, fears? When we have that, we just show we don't have faith. That's it. And so we need to fall on our knees and ask, Lord, give me this faith. Increase this faith so that I may know you. And so that I would live in the power of the resurrection. And so, dear ones, as he speaks of the principalities and the powers, we know that he eventually died at the hand of a tyrant. But it was an imperial power that was against Paul, the most powerful man in the world, the ruler of Rome. Powerful. One word spoken is fulfilled. It's done. Here stood a man with absolute imperial power. And here stood Paul. a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, endued with the power from on high, who stood with him. And he says, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm not afraid of Nero. I'm not afraid of the death sentence, because Christ is comforting me. He testified to Timothy. He told him, he goes, everyone forsook me. He goes, yet Jesus did not. Jesus was with me. He stayed with me. He testified of that truth to young Timothy. And so he testifies to us too. Jesus will never leave you. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Just go to the cross. Give your life there. Give it to him. Serve him. Let his life be made manifest in your life, in my life. There's no fear. There's no anxieties. There's just an inward man that is renewed every day, every day. No desperation. God gives me the grace for today. As Paul prayed and prayed and prayed, Lord, remove this. We don't know what it is. And Jesus comes back with the reply, my grace is sufficient. Yes, you are going through that. And he says, here he says, so that the power of Jesus Christ would shine forth, so that I do not become puffed up, vain. So dear ones, whatever we go through in life, don't moan and groan. Let's not moan and groan. Be thankful in all things. If it works out for our betterment, for our salvation, thank God. May he bless his word upon our hearts, dear ones, that we would truly seek to understand the life of Christ and who he is, and that it would actually shine forth from each of us. When I do that, and you as an individual do that, you know what the church will do? It will flourish. Pettiness, bickering, it's gone. Gone. Competitions, all those things, gone. Love for Christ, for one another. And Jesus says, that's how they will know that you are mine. Amen.